Welcome back. It's time to record another episode with my wife.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to another episode, Mornings with the Montagues. We're so happy to be here today. Another episode.
Good morning.
Good morning. Making a fresh start is our devotional today. And we're going to be talking about the year of Jubilee. The year of Jubilee. And if you don't know what this is a year of forgiveness. And so here, I'm going to read this little part here. This is from the Bible Project. You guys are probably familiar with this. And it says, what is the year of Jubilee in the Bible? You shall have the 50th year as the year of Jubilee. No selling, no repaying, no gathering. It's the Jubilee. It's holy. Eat what the land produces. It's that people are going back to their own property. In an ancient context, this would keep any one group from having too much land. It's a super Sabbath. And so having that in mind, we're going to read the verses today, Leviticus 25, 8 through 13. And our main verse, Leviticus 25:11. The 50th year shall be a jubilee for you. Do not sow and do not reap what grows of itself or harvest the untended vines. And so you can go back and read those full verses to understand the context of the year of Jubilee and what we said there, that after the 50th year will stand as, in the verses it says it's the seventh, count off seven Sabbath years, seven times 7 years, so that's the 49. And then the 50th will be the Jubilee year, where every kind of where the debt is forgiven. And so making a fresh start is our devotional today. A husband of my friend Christine has a new job. So next week, they'll be packing up and moving to a brand new home that's been freshly painted and carpeted. 10 minutes, that's how long it'll stay clean, she tells me, thinking of her six active children. But I'm going to enjoy those 10 minutes. That's funny. A fresh start has its appeal. I have a daydream of my own in which I fling open the attic windows and begin hurling out stuff into the driveway. It would be so lovely to see the attic floor again. Here's another fantasy. It's monthly billing paying time, and lo and behold, we have no debts to pay, no student loans to consider, or different types of debt, not even a mortgage payment. These are the kinds of dreams that come true for the Israelite people because of God's Jubilee plan. In the same way that God built Sabbath rest into the Israelites' weekly schedule, he planned times of labor and financial relief into their community and business life. The year of Jubilee was a time when crop-bearing fields rested, debts were forgiven, and servants were released from their obligation. The Israelites were instructed to use that entire year for worshiping and building their family and community life. How cool would that be to have a year of Sabbath, super Sabbath, the year of Jubilee here?
Oh, yeah.
In our culture. That's so
I love it, and also forgiving that
today.
That's also having some freedom about the debts, mm-hmm. because I think there's many people with so many bills to pay.
It's so normal to have debt, right?
Yeah.
The Israelites were instructed to use that entire year for worshiping and building their family and community life. During that time, they had to depend on God to sustain their lives because they weren't actively working to provide for themselves. I can't take a shovel to the stuff in the attic. After all, it's mostly my husband's stuff up there. And as long as our kids require a roof over their heads, we'll keep making the mortgage payment. But those are ways I can bring up Jubilee-type freedom and celebration into my marriage. I can throw away the scorecard, for starters. Quit worrying about who's working harder, at home or away, or who's changed the most dreadful diapers. With the Jubilee mentality, David doesn't owe me a certain number of hours of vacuuming or lawn mowing. Another way for our relationship to stay debt-free is for me to put away old hurts and disagreements, not bring them up when I'm angry or hold them against David in today's interactions. Every relationship benefits from emotional fresh starts. Family life is financially draining. It's easy for David and me to give priority to his career and to money-making projects. The tasks that come with our ministry commitments take a large portion of our time and attention. But whether or not we think we can afford travel or hotels for an actual getaway, we're trying occasionally to put aside work to make time to enjoy our relationship. These are my everyday Jubilee practices. I need them because I can't wait until 50 years from now to build some Jubilee into our relationship.
That's actually something that we studied when we were doing the marriage group. Mm. It was awesome to have some of the offenses that you've got against me forgiven, right?
Yep.
And also to see other couples getting healing from that, because you carry so much heaviness.
Yeah.
And that destroys any type of relationship between couples, between family. It's horrible.
Yeah, offenses start to build walls.
Yes.
Right? Start to literally build a fence and I'm building a fence around you, around myself to protect myself from you, and then our relationship
with Jesus is like forgive always, mm-hmm, all the time. Mm-hmm. Like there's no waiting for that specific for forgiving that of a person, mm-hmm, right?
So our questions today, how does our calendar reflect the time we spend on work and obligations? Can we build in some Jubilee time for marriage, building, and fun? I think this is kind of touching on like that work-life balance, mm-hmm, in a biblical way, right? How can we put away the work, put away the engagements and all the things that we need to do and just really focus on family and worship and spending time with God? Goes back to our episode about the Sabbath, right?
Yeah.
And so anything else that you can comment? How does our calendar reflect the time we spend on work and obligations?
I think being intentional when we spend some time together on the weekends, mm-hmm, and when we have our free time after the day ends. For us right now, it's a difficult situation because we work, Dallas works the whole day, mm-hmm, so and night. So when he has free gaps in between the day, he comes and spends time with Elijah and I. But praise God, you work at home, mm-hmm, right?
Something Marcelli said about me in another podcast was that I always try to make Elijah laugh and her laugh. And I am really intentional about that. Maybe I am working a lot of the day, but when I have a 5-minute gap, I go and hug my son or lift him up or throw him in the air or just do something just to make him laugh and remember, hey, my dad's home, my dad's here, you know, things like this. But something I don't think I mentioned on this podcast yet is the temptations I had as a father where I wanted to provide financially for my family, but as I was focusing on that tower, I was neglecting providing for my family spiritually, providing for my family emotionally, and providing for my family physically. Yeah. Those things are also just as important as the financial one, if not more, if anything.
I think this happened more like this year.
Mm-hmm, like February to July, I would say this happened. Yeah. And so
it was hard
taking this time to intentionally be present. Like when I'm present, be present mentally as well. Not just I'm here, but I'm thinking about work or other things, you know, when I'm here, be here. And this is so important that I've been trying to teach myself and learn the last several months. How about you? You had a comment about that. I could see it.
No, I just thought about the end of the year when you have like, in Brazil, at least vacation time and Christmas and all this, mm-hmm, stuff, we make it very intentional to visit our family members, yeah, and spend time with them and make some vacation time. And if we could, we'd go to America too and spend with
we would take a vacation with my family.
Yeah, with Dallas's family. But it's very important to have these fun moments, mm, as a family. Because life is not just working, right? Yeah.
The second question, when do we fall into scorekeeping mode, feeling that we owe each other something? I'm thinking back of a message that I watched either with you or by myself where it was talking about if you're counting, you're not forgiving. Mm-hmm. If you're still counting, you're not forgiving. And so, yeah, I did this and you did this and I changed the diaper, you didn't, you know, things like this. When you're keeping score, it's tough to
I think it may have happen a lot of women, mm, nowadays because, for example, oh, let's divide our tasks. I work, you work. So both of us, we have to divide. I did the dishes tonight, mm-hmm, and I cooked. So you got to do something. You, mm-hmm, got to take the trash out and wash the floor outside. Or I cook, you do the dishes. Always you, mm-hmm, you keep thinking that a man has to do something.
Yeah.
But
no, I think it's equal. You know, we should
good.
Both
it's
do
good.
Things.
It's good. But I feel like as a woman that's my job. I kind of feel a little, how do you say? I kind of get crazy when someone else is doing it for me. I like when you do your tasks that I want you to do. Mm-hmm. Like
you want me to do the tasks. Listen,
it's
here,
like
the tasks
I
want you to do.
Yeah. So. It's like work is my husband's thing. Mm-hmm. The man's thing for my mind. But this is personal, mm-hmm, right?
Yeah, it is different personal. For every family, every situation. Yes.
I love cleaning the house. I love cooking. And sometimes I even got crazy when my mom was doing something that I wanted her to not to do because it's my house. I don't, mm-hmm, know, somehow. And having someone to clean my house, I think I would clean the house before the person comes and clean the house. So it doesn't work. Mm-hmm. And when Dallas does, I have to Wow, thank you. And I have to hold myself to not go there and do it again because it's not the way I want it. Mm-hmm. But when it's the task that I wanted you to do, like go wash the car, take the trash out, then perfect. You know, it's like I'm waiting for you to do those things, you know. But for every family, it's different. And if you can't take the trash out in that week or that day, I have to be patient, you know. With you and not like freak out.
The third question, what relationship debts between us could be released or forgiven? Relationship debts. I think this is a huge point for today that we can gain out of this devotional. Do you have relationship debts? Not just with a husband or a wife or for friends or for
family.
Are you holding things against them or you're counseling, they did this and this, but they didn't do this or they didn't meet your expectations or Marcelli's talking here, right? But I can't read her mind, so I don't understand all the tasks that she has created for me to do in her mind, right? It takes communication. It takes
relationship. And also, I think unforgiveness, it's a huge thing and for God and for the spiritual things to not come to you sometimes. The blessings of the Lord, you don't receive the blessings of the Lord when you keep carrying unforgiveness against other people. You know, God has more blessings for you. And if you don't forgive people, it's like not good for you. And also your, how can you grow spiritually too?
Another verse says that you'll be given the amount of forgiveness, the measure of a forgiveness that you give, right?
Yes.
And so if we only forgive this much.
After the prayer of the fathers, how do you call this in English?
The Lord's Prayer.
Yeah, the Lord's Prayer. We call it Pai Nos, like our Father.
Oh, okay. Really?
Yeah.
Pai Nos?
Yes.
Wow. I never heard it referred to that.
But at the end, it says like you only be forgiven as the amount as you forgive.
Yep.
That's serious, huh?
And so to end this episode today, I want to use this time to just call you into a jubilee right now. Let's take this same mentality, this idea of the 50th year is the year of jubilee. We don't sow in that time. We forgive debts at this time. So right now, use the end of this video right now to think of people that you haven't forgiven, people that you're holding something against them. And this is like poison. If you're holding unforgiveness against somebody, they're not worried. Well, you know what I mean? They're not worried.
I just reminded about something.
It's poison to your own body. They're not sitting around worrying about you. You are the one tormenting yourself by not forgiving them, right? Go ahead.
I was telling a testimony on Friday, right, to the teens about how God called me Mary and not Martha anymore. And because I was at his feet. But now, because I was dedicating this time at his feet without worrying about everything else I had to do. But before that, now I remember that I did something very important. It had to do with unforgiveness. And before that moment that was just dedicating myself to the Lord and spending time with him, I made a list of some people that I kind of borrowed offenses from you.
That's like a real
people
thing
that hurt you.
Yeah.
It was like, all these people that I don't look at them with good eyes, I don't feel good about them. And I kind of can't forgive them because what happened and they hurt my husband and they caused this and that. And then I made a list of those people and I started praying about them and I forgave them.
Was this toward the beginning of our marriage?
No, it was like in the middle, like in 2 years in.
Okay.
2 years and a half in, something like that. And I was praying for God, the Lord help me to forgive them too. And okay, I forgave them. I cried and stuff. And then after that moment, I felt like I felt so free. And then I went to the presence of the Lord to pray and sing. And God spoke so deeply with me. And in that same week, God spoke so much more. So I received so many blessings from the Lord with hearing his voice and spiritual blessings and not like physical things, but from so much healing. So that was an amazing week. And now I remember that before seeking God closer, I asked him to help me to forgive these people.
Yeah.
So that changed. That changed the whole like the rest of my life, you know?
I also, I'm thinking about another situation. If you could just take the time and share a little bit about your testimony with your dad, because this is something that we experienced this year. And I think that this really ties into it really, really well. And you don't have to tell the full testimony, but just maybe a little bit about the beginning of your life and then how God brought it back.
Yes.
Right?
Oh, yes. With that, my father, when I was a kid, my mom and my dad, they separated. My dad went to live in another city, and he married another wife, a new wife there. And I stayed with my mom. And he came to visit me many times when I was a child, when I was a teenager, my grandma, my aunts from my dad's family. But when I became an adult, it was kind of my responsibility to visit him too. And I stopped doing that. And I went to a camping one day and by myself after being married, even my son being breastfeeding. Yeah. Dallas had to take Elijah there.
I stayed home with the baby. She went for a 3-day
Dallas had to thing. Take him there for me to breastfeed for a few minutes. So it was a time that I decided to go to this camping, and the Lord spoke to me there about my father, that I should message him, talk to him. And I was like, oh, that's a little crazy. Like, why to touch in this point?
So random.
Yeah, man. Why to touch in this point? I never hated him. I forgave him for leaving, you know? And then, okay, I went back home from, ended the camping, and I went back home, and I was like, okay, I'm going to send a message to my father. I'm going to ask for forgiveness because I didn't contact him. And I sent an audio to my aunt because she had her number, and I sent...
His number.
His number, yes. And I sent this audio to her, so she sent it to my dad, and she heard the audio. And she was like, oh, I'm sorry. I didn't know they were ready. Made the audio for him. And I heard the audio, and, well, I got really emotional because this was something that your grandma really desired before she died. She commented with me that she wanted you to talk to your dad again and contact him because we lost contact, right? And I was like, wow, I didn't know that. And so I sent him that message to him, and he got, like, super happy. He was amazed that I sent him a message, and he wanted to immediately, he asked for forgiveness because he was not so present, and children suffer when parents divorce or parents get separated, right? So he wanted to be more present, and he's sorry for that, and all these forgiveness messages. And then he said immediately that he wanted to see me. He wanted to see my husband, to meet my husband, and to meet my son, his grandson. And he said very beautiful things. And then this moment finally happened. My dad came from another country, from Argentina to Brazil. And we met. And it was a moment to, like, so precious, so precious. Nobody wanted to go home. It was... like orchestrated by God.
Yeah. It was a situation where it's like no years have passed. Nothing has been lost. It was just totally a supernatural thing.
It felt so unique moment. I thought maybe it would be awkward because we haven't seen each other in a long time, and he didn't know my husband, you know, Elijah, our son. But no, it was so beautiful. Like, God wanted that for me. God wanted that restoration, you know? And I was... For myself, I thought I just forgave him. There's nothing against him, but God wanted more. God wanted relationship, and he wanted more healing, even for him and for the family. So that was.
And we got to pray with them. They said they were really emotional and moved by just the time that God totally put that together. And so I wanted her to share that testimony to tell you guys that just as Marcelli has forgiven her father and her father has asked for forgiveness and all of these things, God restored this relationship. And so if you bring these things to God and you're obedient and you forgive and you ask for forgiveness and all of these things, God can restore just as he did with the Israelites in their year of Jubilee. And so I think that ties together so perfectly. Thank you guys so much for joining us again for today's episode. Anything else to comment today?
No, just like, actually, yes, right? since I was not going to be the same situation that I had, and everything is going to be beautiful at the end. But you as a believer has to have to do what the Lord is asking, and yeah. He will do the rest. And the forgiveness part and what depends on you, do it.
Yeah.
The rest the Lord will do. And also, we understand that there's the other people, mm-hmm. People's will. But leave it in the hands of God. Just do your part and ask for help to forgive other people. Because yeah. He gives us this strength and cleans our heart to forgive other people. And there's nothing else inside of our hearts after that.
Yeah,
like polluting us.
And imagine if she never would have sent a message to her father, yeah. right? If she just would have thought, oh, I'm just crazy. I'm yeah. just, this is just something I desire in my heart, deep down.
It's my subconscious.
But God used it and He restored the relationship yeah. through her obedience and all of that. So take that as a testimony. I hope that encourages you today. And I'm going to end with a prayer.
All
Sound
right.
good? Dear Lord, thank you so much for this time that we can come together and do this devotional again. Lord, I pray that we can all apply this mentality of the Jubilee in our families and our relationships, Lord, that we can use this time as a time to forgive and to let go of debts and not hold things against other people, Lord, but we can have a new mercy for every person around us, all of our relationships, Lord, that we can be the bigger person. We can submit these things to you, Lord, and trust you that you are going to vindicate us for these things that have been maybe happened to us or things that have been wrong in our lives, Lord, that we can trust you with our life, with our hearts, Lord. We love you so much. Thank you for this devotional. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
All right, guys, we'll see you on the next episode.
Yay.